If you would, please turn with me in your scriptures to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. And if you'll notice, we're also going to be flipping over to Genesis 35, verses 1 through 7. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll see the corresponding page numbers in your bulletin. Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22, we read these words. Jacob left Beersheba and set out to Haran. Where he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth, which its top reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go and bring you back to this land and will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Earlier in the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called this place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I will safely return to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. In chapter 35, verses 1 through 7, we read this. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and sit there and build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come and let us go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me on the day of my distress, who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. And Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Wonderful message and wonderful words, and look forward to hearing what the Word of God has to say to us this morning.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Genesis. I've entitled this message this morning, Me Forget. As I have considered this particular message and bringing this to you, I bring it to you because there is a great concern that I have because of our nation and the things that we're seeing and the directions things are going, and the fact that it seems as though mankind in general doesn't really pay attention to their vows. And we see this type of thing. We see it as parents promise children things and then they don't honor their promise. We see it as children make promises to parents and they don't honor those promises. We see it in every aspect of life, it seems as though. We see that in modern day times that even vows where people will stand before a group of people and pledge their love and loyalty to one another till death do they part really doesn't mean much. That's why one in two marriages is going through divorce. We see a lack of real commitment to vows when even within churches and denominations, people set aside the Word of God to just kind of do what they want in an effort to be politically correct, but spiritually wrong. We see it even in churches where members of churches make vows, and they seem to just be, when it's convenient for me, Lord, I'll honor this vow. You know, that's kind of the circumstance that we have read about in the Scripture today. I want to give you a little bit of background as to what has taken place. You have this guy named Jacob. You know the situation. I'm not going to give you a lot of the details that way. But Jacob has cheated his brother out of his birthright, you know, Esau. And Esau is out for revenge. And Jacob runs away. And in his running away, he comes to that place called Bethel, or Bethel, or however you want to pronounce it. And you know the story. He lays down to go to sleep at night, and he's using a rock for a pillow. And during the night, he has the dream where the ladder extends from where he's at up into the heavens, and he sees angels descending and ascending, just kind of a symbol of the ever-presence of God and of God's forces and of God's grace and of God's love. And Jacob is quite impressed. And he makes a vow to God. God, if you'll be with me, if you will provide for me, if you will do all of this stuff for me, I will honor you. And I will make this a great temple. And I will, and you know the story. And Pastor Homer read a bit of this experience that took place. And then we jump from chapter 28 of Genesis to chapter 35. There is approximately 30 years between these two events and these two experiences. Jacob is again in a mess. This time, it is not only Esau who is still trying to get at him, but he also has another who is wanting to kind of do him in. And so Jacob goes again before the Lord. And the Lord indicates to him, Jacob, the bills are coming due. Go back to Bethel. Go back. You see, it appears as though in Jacob's life, as things began to get good, as God honored his side of the bargain, as he honored his side of the deal, Jacob suddenly settles into contentment and not into commitment. He becomes contented. His family grows. He begins to prosper. All of these types of things take place. And he forgets the temple promise. He forgets what he has committed to the Lord. I've seen it happen over and over. You have too. There'll be someone who gets hospital religion. Lord, if you'll heal me, I will serve you all of my life. I promise, I pledge, I'll not forget this. God heals them and they get released from that hospital. And it's a quick, how do you do, Lord? Thank you. And on their way, and boom, same old life. A broken vow. Or someone is in prison, and they call that jailhouse religion, and they get jailhouse religion, and in the process of getting jailhouse religion, they promise God, look, I will honor you, I will do all of this stuff, I will just, everything in my life is going to be what you want if you just help me get out of this mess. And they get released from prison, and what happens? They fall back into the same patterns. God honors his part of the commitment, his part of the vow, and we settle. And we forget that God takes us seriously when we make a vow. Husbands, when you stood before that gathering of people who were there to celebrate your great moment of marriage, God took those vows seriously. And by the way, he didn't plug his ears, ladies, when you made yours. Took them seriously. Jesus put it this way. He said, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Anything other than that is sin. And so what's he saying? He's saying a broken vow is sin. That's what he's saying. And so within this 30-year span of time, from the time that Jacob pillowed his head on the rock till the moment that we come to now, in that 30 years, Jacob has not honored his vow. So he's back to God. Lord, I'm in a pickle again. And I'll bet the Lord's shaking his head and going, no, you're in a pickle still. Why don't we honor our vows? You see, it's not a new issue. It's not a new problem. It's kind of a part of the human experience, it seems as though. But, you know, every once in a while, we have got to step back. We've got to take a look at where we're at, what we have promised, what we have vowed. We've got to step back and say, okay, how am I doing? Am I fulfilling what I promised? Am I honoring what I've committed? I want to share with you just a little bit of information. Just six little things that will help us to evaluate where we're at and then to look at our vows. I don't know what vows you may have made. I don't know. But God knows. And you know. So let's look at these six things. The very first thing, as we look at an application of what took place in Jacob's life, and I encourage you to go on and to read this whole Jacob story all over again and really pay close attention to it. But we need to, first of all, realize that God expects us to keep the vows we make. He expects us to keep them. I don't know if you happen to notice in your bulletin the pre-worship meditation. Most people don't pay attention to it. I don't know if you happen to read that or not. It's in your bulletins. You can take a look at it if you wish, or plug your ears if you don't, because I'm going to read it. It comes out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, and it says this: when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. That's pretty blunt, pretty straightforward. And so there are those times in our lives when we've got to step back, we've got to pay close attention, and we've got to realize that when we make a promise to God, He expects us to follow through on that. Lord, if you help me, if you get me through whatever I'm going through, I promise I will serve you. I promise I will be a part of your plan for this world. I will follow your directions. I will follow your instructions. I will read your word. I will pray. I will do those little things that I know that I'm supposed to do. And then we'd better do them, because God expects that. Do you want to grow in your spiritual life and be the best that you can possibly be? And have you committed to God by saying, Lord, I am sorry for the things that I have done. I repent of my sins. I turn my back on them. I ask for your forgiveness and I ask for your help. And I ask you to please come into my life, and I will live for you and I will honor you. If you have made that kind of a commitment, God expects you to keep it. He expects you to honor that commitment, because I'll tell you what, He takes it seriously. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And anything other than that is sin. First, God expects us to keep the vows we make. Second, we are prone to forget our vows when God has fulfilled His part. God gets us out of the mess. God gets us out of the difficulties. God gets us out of the hospital, out of the jail, out of the prison, out of whatever it is that we happen to be in a mess with. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a relational thing. Who knows, whatever the mess is that we have gotten ourselves into, and we've gone to Him and, God, will you help us get out of this? If you will, I will serve you all of my life. I'm going to follow through. But as soon as we get back on our feet and get our bearings, we forget. You see, that's why we have to go back and visit our commitment. There's been a couple of times over the last couple of years. My wife will attest to this. She's not proud of it, but she'll attest to it. There have been a couple of times over the last couple of years where I have come out and said, you know what, Lord, I'd rather be a greeter at Walmart than be a pastor. I mean that. There are times when I would just like to throw in the towel and walk away. And then God says, Lynn, do you remember back here at this Bethel moment in your life where you said, Lord, if you'll prepare me, if you'll equip me, if you'll give me the wisdom that I need, I'll be a pastor for you. Lynn, do you remember that? You made a vow. You made a commitment. You better honor it. And he won't let me go. How many times I go back to that professor in college, speaking to that class of prospective preachers, and saying, fellas, we just happen to be a class of all fellas. He said, fellas, if you can do anything else in this world and be happy, you're not called to be a preacher. I would probably be the grumpiest Walmart greeter that they ever had, because I know I couldn't be happy. Walking away from a vow that I made to the Lord would not make me happy. You see, folks, when we make a vow and things suddenly get easy, we have the tendency to forget. Sometimes when things get tough, we have the tendency to want to throw them away. Lord, I must have been drunk when I made that vow. No. We make a vow. We honor it. The third thing. We are prone to forget our vows when things are going well. You see, this was Jacob's. You know, when God has fulfilled his side of them, then things begin to turn around. This was Jacob's issue. In the case of Jacob, he had a nice family. You can read about that. He had become extremely wealthy. You can read about that. He had settled down in his home country. Everything was awesome. And the same thing is true of many Christians today. Many obey the gospel at times in their lives when they are troubled, but later, especially if they enjoy financial security, they forget their commitment to God and to Christ. That commitment is difficult. You see, the nation of Israel had this problem. I want you to listen to it. You can read about it in the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to open there, you can follow along with me if you wish. The book of Deuteronomy. A lot of people have turned off because I said the Deut word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20. The command here in this 8th chapter is to remember the Lord. That's what the command is. Beginning with verse 11. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your service and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of a rock, a flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me build this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, and he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of your God. Do you remember when God told Jacob, look, time to go back to Bethel? What did he do? He goes to his family and he says, by the way, the false gods have got to go. We got to set them aside. So we're going to dig a hole underneath this tree. We're going to bury these idols. We're going to bury these false gods because we've got to restore our integrity with God. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, it's time for the modern day church to restore its integrity with God. It's time to take all of the pleasures and throw them away and say, God, I'm going to honor my vows to you. I'm going to honor my commitments to you. I'm going to honor what I have promised and what I've pledged. And I'm going to follow through, God, because my vow to you is more important than the races or the football game or whatever it is that I'm allowing to stand between me and you. Whatever God I'm worshiping, I've got to bury it so that you can bless me. What stands between you and fullness in Christ? Pastor, you're not very nice today. Now, I always tell you I'm mean, ornery, rotten all the way through. But it's time, folks. It's time for the church to stand up and be the church. Not play worship, but worship. Not play Christian, but be Christian. To honor our commitments to the Lord. Number four. We are prone to forget our vows when we have allowed ourselves to be influenced by the world. When we have allowed ourselves to be influenced by the world. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning that approximately 20 short years ago, the divorce rate among evangelical Christians was one marriage in 37. Now it's 1 in 8. 1 in 6, somewhere in that area. We have allowed the world to influence because vows no longer mean anything. It's time, folks, for us to return to honor, to integrity, and to fulfilling what we promise. If We are prone to forget our vows, and we have allowed ourselves to be influenced by the world. I am scared to death for our teenagers today. Oh, here he goes, go pick on the teens. No, I'm not. I'm scared to death for our teenagers because parents don't honor their vows to God. Teachers teach things that are totally contrary to God. And so these people that kids look up to are giving them a different message than what the Word of God tells. So who do we listen to? Do we listen to the flesh and blood people that we can shake their hands, that we can give them hugs? Do we listen to them, or do we listen to a God that we can't see, that we haven't handled with our hands? You see, that was Thomas's issue. That was Thomas's problem. You remember after the resurrection, and Jesus has met with all of the disciples at that point except for Thomas and Judas. Judas is kind of out of the picture. And everybody's gathered together except Thomas, and Jesus shows up in their midst. And they worship and they rejoice and they're having a good old time. And then Jesus departs from them, and then we read in the book of Acts where there's another time then when they get together and they say, Tommy, we've seen him. We have seen him. He was here. We were meeting, and here he comes. And they're all rejoicing, and they're all excited. And then you got Tommy. Not this kid. Till I can touch the prints in his hands. Till I can thrust my fingers into the hole in his side. I'll not believe. Jesus shows up. Hey, Tommy, touch it. See, Tom, right there. Go ahead. Blessed are you because you see and believe. Greater blessing is those who have not seen and yet believe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you and I. Are we going to have faith? Are we going to follow that faith? Are we going to have trust? Are we going to have confidence knowing that there's going to come a time when he's going to come back and we will touch him? But are we going to honor him till that day happens? Or do we have to wait for that day to honor him? Are we influenced more by the world who says, you can't believe in a God you haven't seen? Show him to me and we'll all believe. That's garbage. Number 5. Oh my goodness. If we have forgotten our vows, we need to go back to the beginning. You see, Jacob was commanded by the Lord. Remember, it's been 30 years since that Bethel experience. Jacob is commanded, go back. Hey, Jake, go back. Remember the rock. Remember the pillar. Remember the dream. Remember the promise. Remember the pledge. Remember the vow. Jacob, go back. It's the book of Revelation. It's the second chapter. Jesus is speaking to one of the churches. wasn't going to bring this up, so I didn't look it up in advance. You can check it out, chapter 2. He's giving them some commendations about their faith. And then he says this, "But this one thing I have against you, you have left your first love. Go back and do the first works over again. Jacob, go back to Bethel. Church, go back to that point of promise. Get renewed. Get refreshed. Get committed. I can do something with you." Do we want God to do something with us as a church? Then we'd better get right with God. Do we want God to do something with us as a denomination? Then as a denomination, we'd better get right with God. Do we want God to do something with us as a nation? Then we'd better get right with God as a nation. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall hear my voice and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent of their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll restore their land, heal their nation. If my people." I've said it before, and I'll continue. It's time for the church to get right with God. We can't continue to blame the gays. We can't continue to blame everyone else. The church has got to get right with God. Then we'll have hope. Finally, when we fulfill our forgotten vows, there are renewed blessings. Do we want the blessings of God to fall? Those showers to be poured out? Then let's do what's right. Let's honor God. See, that had to happen with Jacob. That has to happen with anyone who breaks a vow. Make it right. Folks, these kinds of messages are not easy. And I don't like bringing them. I'd rather have warm fuzzies. But I'd rather see you in heaven. I really would. I'd rather see you in heaven. So if we have to endure a little bit of pain here, I'd rather do that and have the hand of God wipe away all tears. I would rather do that than have you hear the words, "Depart from me, you who worked iniquity, I don't know you." It's time. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnal, open up to number 465. Number 465. It's a chorus. It's not even a song. It's called "In His Time." I don't know if you know it. I don't know if you don't know it. I don't know if I know it. We'll give it a shot. But if you're here this morning and you'd have to say, you know, I've forgotten my vows. I've not honored them. I've not followed through. I need to do that. I'm going to invite you to come today. You know, I apologize to all of our visitors. We've got a lot of them here today. But folks, as a church, perhaps it's time we honor our vows and our commitments. If God is speaking to you, only if He's speaking to you, and He's telling you, it's time to go back to Bethel, I invite you to come. I'm not going to bother you. No one will. This is a personal Bethel moment. But if God is speaking to you because you've let your vows go, we invite you to come. You hear, it's really raining outside. You don't want to go outside right now anyways. So if God is speaking to you, you step out and come as we sing number 465. Our gracious Lord, please help us. Help us each and every one to be so mindful of our vows and our commitments to You that we would in no way want to offend You, but we would want to honor everything. Father, this subject of vows is a thing that's not talked about much in church anymore. It's one of the acceptable sins. But Lord, it's not acceptable in Your eyes, and we know it. So please help us. Help us to honor You and to be truthful and honest with You, with ourselves, with one another. Father, may this moment be our Bethel experience. Not that we would kind of wander for 30 years, but we would return. Place our head on the pillars. Renew our commitment. So Lord, please guide us. Don't leave us, but help us to honor You in everything we do. And we'll give You thanks. We'll give You praise, because You're the God who's worthy. Help us as we go to our homes. Help us to focus on You and our personal relationship with You. We'll give You thanks. Now, Father, please bring us back together where we can worship You together. Fill us with Your glory. And we'll give You our praise. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.